Welcome to T-Theory Observations. This is Terry Laundrie with the programming for Saturday, May 28th, 2011. Today we have a number of topics to discuss. First of all, we're going to take a look at the PDF file, which is for the daily chart. That is the one that covers the basically the bull market on a daily basis. And then the second PDF chart that's listed down there is a new one, which is I'm preparing for the upcoming seminar. It discusses the it shows the 1926 to 2011 concepts that we're going to be applying for the seminar. The key concept in there is the so-called mystery cycle, which we're now calling the M cycle. And I will be spending the next 3 months on putting a lot of indicators into that as the beginning for the seminar, and which comes in mid-September-ish. And then we're going to go on to the public charts, which are growing in number and will continue to grow. And we'll isolate the forecast that we do in these other PDF charts with respect to the daily charts. Those are very nice. They're constantly being updated, and you'll notice that I've added a comment. Daily comment up at the top, right underneath the title. And on Friday evening, around 7 o'clock, I put the May 27th closing data, brief summary. S&P outlook remains negative. T volume oscillator is 11, and the channel envelopes for my adaptive channels. And then announced that you can hear it on this broadcast on Saturday at ttheory.com. The other announcement that we probably should include here is that Paula, my business manager, has been working over the last 2 months with webmasters to set up a new home for T-Theory Foundation, and they're going to grab this ttheory.com URL. And so we're going to, at some point, you're going to come to ttheory.com, and you'll find the greetings for the new home page for T-Theory Foundation. If you peruse the pull-down menus there, you'll see the services that we're going to be offering. And then right in the middle, there's a paragraph, and it gives you the link to back to T-Theory Observations. T-Theory Observations is going to become a subset of the T-Theory Foundation, and in a couple of weeks, it'll float around. Meantime, it just brings you back to the TypePad address that we're at today. So you'll get that loop. It takes 24 to 48 hours for that change of the domain name to shift it to a new location for new computer and so forth. Okay, so let's start out with the first PDF file, which is down below, which is our standard chart for the looking at the daily indicators and so forth. And as you can see in that chart, I have added a couple of comments. The one that was the more important one is this false bottom in the blue volume oscillator. You have a series of descending bottoms, and series of descending bottoms are generally negative. We also have a problem that there's a major top in the formation. You notice that it's rallied up to the level of the zero line now, and then the question comes up: is there, what does it want to do on the upside? And as far as I can see, it's there's not an awful lot that you want to get too excited about this thing, because we've lost the top on the May 4th with just the QE2T, and we're not sure what this trading range has to do with, but we're pretty sure that as we go to the next ringing cycle low, which is scheduled for July 1, which is number 9 in the chart, and you see prior to that you had 8, then 7, then 6, then 5, and those are separated by about 15 weeks. That cyclicality is the basis for the first of the public charts, which notes the arrival of or projected arrival of certain cycles, and that's the fundamental cycle that it's looking at. And so we just think that this is a high-risk situation, and we don't have anything. It's always possible in my daily updates that if we were to see a pullback and then a turn up with a rising bottoms pattern in it, that could be pretty good. But it, you know, it's possible the market wants to rally here into the projected top date for which would be next week. The area of the next top into next week, but I wouldn't get too excited about it because I think that it just gonna roll off, and we're gonna end up in an oversold condition going into the end of the month. And I think the big surprise is going to be that you won't be able to get out of that one anymore because there are certain things going on in the slowdown in the economy and the loss of the QE2 stimulus and et cetera. And those will make people not too happy about the situation. You won't get a lot of buying power coming in. We also have a gold forecast that is expiring someplace in June, so that's another thing that's going on in here. Before we leave this chart, what I want to do is I wanted to show you a couple of the important concepts that are in this chart, so that when we get to the next chart, which is the same program with different sets of data in it, I can tell you how we're going to be progressing on the long-term chart without giving away anything that we're going to be presenting in the seminar. You notice that this cash buildup phase is listed here in basically last year's July to November time period, June to November time period. And that gave rise to this rally scheduled to go by equal time symmetry into May 4. The cash buildup phase is probably the most important thing in T-theory, and it's measured by the volume oscillator here, and you have to have the cash buildup before you can make the rally. And then there was a new cash buildup phase bound into the mid-March low, and that's giving rise to this rally. But it's not a very good rally, is the problem. It either doesn't have enough money or the news isn't very good, whichever way it was. If you go back through history, you'll find that all market rallies are preceded by cash buildups. And that's the important thing to remember, and also that there is a cyclical pattern in the if you put these numbered lows in, then you just sort of have a cyclical pattern, semi-cyclical pattern there. And if you take that thought with you, and then you move on to the next chart, which is going to be our major contribution to the state of the art as far as the very long term picture is concerned. Now you move down to the second PDF. We have the 1926 to 11. For various reasons, we're using the Dow Jones Industrial Average as the top green plot, and we're using the conventional New York Exchange advanced decline line down at the blue point. And lo and behold, we have the three mega T's that were defined by Peter Eliades, and we have I have sketched in. You'll see the cash buildup periods in the advanced decline line, and I haven't made them very particularly exact. They're just kind of shown there for reference. Those are very much analogous to the cash buildup phases in the volume oscillator. That is that you have to have a cash buildup phase before you can have a market rally. And then we see the three mega T's, 1, 2, and 3 here, defined by time symmetries, and we have their end dates. And you see the current end date for the big T is 4/27/2011. Most people that get involved in T theory forget that you have to have the cash buildup phase, or you can't make a new bull market. And the other thing is that these big T's are the root cause of all of the problems in the stock market. If you look at the last bear market, you'd think it was really because they had some very iffy goings on in the mortgage securities market, not backed up speculation in housing and so forth. But in T3, you just take the mega T number 2, or you could use the advanced decline T number 12, and you just say that time ran out on it and the excesses there had led to a bubble, and the top of the T just pricks the bubble, and you open it up, and it's like opening up a Pandora's jar or a box, and all the bad things come out at that time. In the case of the third mega T, there is a Pandora's jar or box is being opened up, and you have a new set of problems. One of them is that the stimulus program isn't really helping anybody, except it caused a bubble in commodities. And so we just say, okay, so we got to monitor its progress to see that it is causing a peak in the advanced decline line. That's the second purpose of the second chart in the public charts list. We can take that away. we don't have to refer to this anymore, and this will be made public at the seminar. I would like to point out there is another form of symmetry, and that is that the combination of all these tops in the three megatees is producing a giant top formation, which is shown in I don't know why it's green, should be in red up there, but that's the inverse of the giant bottom formation, which was done in the 30s. Okay, so there's a symmetry. You set this big base, and you had a bull market into the 60s, then you had a consolidation, then you ran up the other way, but now you're in the giant top formation. The big problem going forward is that the giant top formation, once it gets loose onto you, has a forecast of a depression into the year 2016, and no real bull market in the sense of the 50s and 60s or anything like that until probably the year 2020. So you're faced with a lot of problems, and the purpose of this chart is basically to tell people who are that are disappointed that the rate of return for the last 10 years is about 1% per annum, that you got to figure out what to do with these T's, and they're always leading indicators. And the main thing that we're going to have to do here is once to confirm that there is a top forming in the a blue advanced decline line, and then we have to go and find another cash buildup phase. And what's going to happen is that as we're going looking for the new cash buildup phase, people are going to start looking for bottoms. But generally, cash buildup phases take about a year or two to develop, so we're not really planning to do too much on that. Which is why the best bond strategy was developed, and I think everything will just come out to be normal as you would expect from this past history. Okay, I think that's all we need to talk about in the big chart here, and so now we go over to what I think is we have very nice comments on the fact that these charts are excellent and that there's a lot of work that's going into these. The general idea is that. Parker actually makes up. If you scroll down here, you'll see some very. If you scroll down, first of all, if you get down to gold, for example, you see those interesting looking bands there for the gold. We have this gray section where the blue moving average. Remember that the gold was found to want to find bottoms around a 150-day moving average. That's what it is. If you go to a weekly chart, it turns out to be about 30, and. Now, in my daily chart, I have adaptive channels, and they're much more interesting because they adapt very quickly. In one of the archives back a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how this is working, and I'll just before we come down the list here, I just want to tell you what it is these bands can't be made to react as quickly as mine, and adapt as quickly. So what we had to do is we had to figure out a way to define normal trading ranges, and these normal trading ranges are in the gray band. All volatility in the market is considered to be two-sided, so even though it's riding on the gold has been riding above the blue line in the upper half of this gray band, there is the possibility or the potentiality for it to end up getting down below because we have a Tocqueville gold tea that's running out. We don't know that yet, whether that's true yet or not, because we're actually trying to do is see that the gold price will get up to the upper edge of the gray region. The solution that I came up with respect to the fact that these bands don't adapt that well, you'll notice that when the gold shot way up in the late 09 time period, it went to this upper sort of an outrigger channel with the black dots on it, and those we call flyers in that analysis that I did a couple of weeks ago. So what I had Parker do was to set up bands that are normal with the gray. Actually, he took that information and he made a nice presentation out of it. And in that presentation, he has decided that the best way to indicate that is to come up with a normal set of bands which are gray. And say that we think that that's where you're normally going to go up to get a peak. But if there are certain circumstances, which you don't know anything about, it's possible that you can fly out of the bands, and the next stop is likely to be where the black dotted lines are. Important thing to remember is that there's a symmetry about the blue line. So at some point, if we find ourselves going below the blue line, we think that the goal will go down to the bottom gray border. And if something very serious happens in the world, which makes the dollar very strong, because global people are rushing to the dollar, because gold is quoted in dollars, it's possible you can get down to the dotted, black dotted line, which is on the lower part. Okay, it's not very likely that you'll go down there, but it is likely that you're making a top. So we're in the process now of handling it. But anyway, that's what the bands look pretty, and they're very useful to have. But you have to remember that there's a compromise being made, because the adaptation process in the so-called Keltner bands is different. If you are interested in making your own bands, I suggest you contact Parker on that, because he takes care of all that stuff. And I just do the basic theory and define what we're going to be looking at. And the mechanical part, he does a very good job on here. Okay, so let's start at the top of the list with the simple SPX cycles. And here we have the two sets of cycles. The blue vertical line, the early blue vertical line in November, is touching a top. And remember that the previous cycles we used, we made an extrapolation in equal time, and we did get the mid-February top out of it. But now we know where the mid-February top is, so he puts the second blue line in, and then he looks for an equal spacing. And all this chart is doing is making equal time extrapolations, and so we come up with a top that's basically sometime next week. Okay, and the market's coming down, and the theory is that it's going to turn up and make a top there, and then it's going to drop off. And because it's a live chart, you're going to be able to watch each day. They put a little marker there, and I guess they're using candlestick charts. And then we're going to see a sharp fall off, and the sharp fall off will end up where the black line is, because that's the cyclical extrapolation between the center post of the low in late November and then the low in March. Anytime you have a double bottom or you have a double top, the cycle is usually considered to have turned in the middle of it, and it just got flipped over. So that's common practice. That's also seen in the Peter Eliades tease. If you wonder why they're splitting the bottom, he's looking for the cycle to have turned in the middle, but it gets flipped. It gets dimpled over. Working cycles, you'll see that's fairly common practice. Okay, so we have an independent forecast that we have a top where the blue line is and a low where the black line is. And when you get there, then you have to go find out what the other cycles were, and you start this process all over again of trying to kind of figure out what the cycles are. Now the second chart down is the advanced decline line, and there what I've had asked Parker to do is to take the dates, which are computed for the mega T number 2 and number 3 in the long-term chart, and draw a blue line just to signify where they are. And you can see that in the case of mega T2, the advanced decline line is in the upper plot, and then the S&P is down at the bottom. And you can see you hit that date, and then the market just the AD line just started to go sideways with a little false breakout on the top. Then it dropped sharply. And then it rolled over and it went down. What you're looking for in here is something like that. You have a little sideways pattern started here. By the time you get to next week, you get a little false top off. Then you drop down into the end of this month or the early part of next month. And then when we get there, what you should see is that it rises up. The advanced decline line rises up, but it recovers a good part. May recover a good part of its decline, but it doesn't recover all of it, and then it rolls over and it starts to decline. And then you're faced with the need to have a cash buildup phase, and the cash buildup phase, the average one is about 18 months. For the last bear market, it was 17 months into the first low, but it was longer if you went into the March 09 low. So, that's sort of the typical rule. Okay, and then as you see in the bottom of this chart, which is the SPX, the important thing to remember is that once you start in a cash buildup phase, the biggest losses come at the end. The biggest losses do not come at the top. It's because nobody believes it. Okay, and then, so they're always enthusiastic about buying the lows and so forth, and the ground starts to give way from you because the Pandora's jar that's been opened up is now released a whole bunch of horrible things, and everybody sees them, and then you get a panic at the end of the bear market. So the usual practice of trying to find tradable lows is usually not a very good one. In the case of the gold here chart, which is the third one, what we're trying to do is get the Parker has some. One of the things that we'll be setting up in the new format is a T-theory forum, and Parker has lots of rules relative to whether you're still in a bull market or a bear market using the RSI indicator, and you see that's the second indicator underneath the money flow indicator MFI. The MFI indicator is used for making time projections of tops. Okay, the channel bands up levels is what you're looking for a price projection as to where the top would be, and you can see that the numbers on the side, it says 155.83. If you multiply that by 10, that's the upper band. Okay, and then the 149.7, that's where the last close is, and then down you see 137.01. That's where the blue mid-channel is. So that's just for reference purposes. Well, you can use the RSI indicator for reference purposes also, and the Parker will explain all of those rules, and they're very handy because you can get a lot of information that's, you know, whether the market's basing in a bullish state or it's definitely not in a bullish state, and it's going to go down to the 150-day moving average, which is currently 1370. That is 1370 on the cash price of gold. So that's why he included that indicator. That'll be a coming project. Now we get down to the S&P envelopes, and here you see what we tried to do here is to come up with the S&P envelopes that mimic my chart here. It's a daily chart, so it's supposed to look the same as mine. And he has two sets of bands there running. One of them is the Keltner bands, and that starts to get complicated. The other ones are simple bands, which is just a percent above the moving average, and another band of the same percentage underneath it. If you're interested in that, and you read the tutorials, you understand the difference of them. The Keltners are they're somewhat different, but you can see that they catch the bottoms better. If we go back to the September bottom in 2009, you'll see it's right on the bounds of the gray area, which is the Keltner band, whereas the price projection of a percentage drop under, which is the dashed the dotted blue lines, is not so good. Okay, so you're very often kind of looking at that. You notice that the last low in the low in December was held on the mid channel. It fell below partly because of the Japanese reactor problem. But anyway, when you get down to here to mid-journey, you should be down where the black dotted line is. And if you follow over, you'll see where the scale is. Then it says 1260. I guess that's 1268. It's got two numbers there. And so you figure that out. Okay, and then again, what he's doing here is he's talking about using the RSI indicator along with the money flow indicator as well. The next chart is the T confidence indicator. You see, it already gave the show away of a deterioration because it made a double top basically earlier, and it's made a lower low. So the confidence indicator is moving down, and once the confidence indicator starts to move down, so it means you're starting to enter a period of much higher risk, and there's a tendency for people to stop buying low quality high yield bonds and to start buying the high quality bonds as a defensive measure, and in what we use as treasuries. The bottom chart, which is the final chart here, shows the bands for what we call VUSTIX, which is the Vanguard Long-Term Treasury Bond. It's been in existence for a very long period of time, over 20 years, and we just show here the last 10 years of the cycles, and we're using the same kind of technique, Keltner bands on the which is the gray area, defining a typical place where you're going to run into upside resistance, and you can see that the we haven't got there yet. The design work that I do on this one is to find a moving average, which acts as a support for a bullish trend. It came down to the blue line, what was it, 2 months ago, and it kind of popped underneath it. However, it's been known to do that anyway, if you follow it back. And that's under everybody poo-pooing the need for treasury bonds and that they're not good for anything. But they have started up, and they're the fact that they have started up is what's turning the confidence indicator over, because the alternative fund is just going sideways. Okay, and the strategy that one employs in this one is just wait and see if you can get up to the top of the band. You'll see that if you go follow it back, anytime you made a rally from the blue mid-channel line, it sort of gets up there, and then you have to go in and analyze that after that. But as far as the channels are concerned, they're good at telling you where you should be buying and not paying attention to people, what they say, and then if things start to turn bad, like we're expecting, and people start to gravitate towards bonds, instead of gravitating towards the bonds, you're supposed to be letting them run up to make a profit, and then when you get to you start guessing at the top of the Keltner bands, the shaded Keltner bands, to sell those. And another announcement is we have put online bestbondstrategy.com, but it has a tutorial in it, and it's going to, you'll see it there when you see the new front page, homepage. But it's going to have a lot of different bond analysis run in there, and that's just to round out the program. One of the options you have when you get up to you think you've gone far enough, is what you do is you, instead of going out of treasury bonds, you just bring the maturity back down to a lower level, so they begin to act more stable, like treasury bills do. In other words, the prices don't fluctuate very much, and you're still earning money. And it's as good a place to be, because the money market funds don't yield anything anyway. Okay, so that's pretty much what the presentation is for the tour here. As a general rule, I put up the comment. I'm around here before the market closes, and on the East Coast it's 4 p.m. And so I just put down a comment whether I think there's anything important going on. And if there isn't anything, I just say there's no change. And then it's a quick way for me to make an update if I see something that's important. But it can only be so many words. It's like Twitter, you can only put so many words up. Okay, so that's pretty much. I hope you enjoyed the show. That helped clarify the total picture that we're going to be going in. And we'll be back here next Saturday. Thank you.